Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
Should we start the show?
Yeah, sure.
Jacob, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you want a fangirl before we start recording, or are you going to save that for the show?
Okay.
I'm so glad that you're a Mousebot fangirl.
Like, oh man, I was just so damn psyched when, you know, the achievement list got revealed. And I got the code yesterday during work, and then like I got home and after the kids were in bed, I started playing, and Carnage, the son of a bitch, had gotten the very first person to get an achievement in the game 2 hours before me. And so like once I discovered Carnage had done that, like I just
four of them too.
No, he only got the first one. No, he was a dick. He literally got the first one, and it was just like, well, I'm done for right now. And I was just like, ugh. So, like, I played through chapters 2 through 5 as well last night, just so I could be the first one to get those achievements.
Nice.
Because I'm a petty son of a bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Keeping that story in the show. What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. No Cole this week. She is out sick, but she dropped 200 biddies in chat, so thanks, Cole. Thank you for dropping by and supporting us, even though you're half dead. I don't know. I hope you get better. It sounds terrible. She was on fluids, but Jacob's here instead, so...
I would also just like to say, Cole, thank you for doing something helpful for this show for once. But I do hope that you do get better.
Yes, but we are chatting about Mousebot because Matt Small of Vector Unit is back on the show. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me back.
We love having you on. This is what, like your fourth or fifth time?
Yeah, I feel like a veteran.
Yeah, you've been here for like four different co-hosts.
I outlast them all.
Yeah, you're still going strong, and everyone else is just behind. Like, Chris Huber's back there. CJ's back there. Poor guys. We miss them. So, Mousebot, that is on the way. What is this game? Do you want to tell us, or should Jacob tell us?
Wait, so it's not officially, it's not out yet?
It's out next week on Wednesday, the 21st. So you got an advanced copy, Jacob.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're special.
That chills up my spine. I was the second person in the world to have it. Oof.
Exactly.
Nice.
I redeemed my code earlier, so.
Shut up, Joe. I was the second person to play it. There we go. I win.
Oh man. It's coming. We're really excited, actually. Like, I mean, you, Jacob, I think when I was on last time, you were talking about Mousebot.
I brought it up and you were like, interesting. And I was like, what does that mean? What does that mean? And then I was left holding all the pieces.
Yeah,
my shattered heart.
Of your shattered heart. Like, Mousebot was one of those games, I think I said this last time, that we always kind of felt was, like, didn't quite get its due, you know? Like, it kind of slipped in under the radar on mobile devices, and we ended up working on, I think, we started working on Beach Buggy 2, like, right after Mousebot came out, and we always wanted to do something more with it. Also, it was always kind of, I think, more of like a console, like gamepad game, and less of a touchscreen, you know, accelerometer type of game from the get-go. And so it always felt a little bit like, you know, we had kind of shoved it onto mobile, but like it always felt a little bit more like a console game to me. And so we decided, you know what, it's time for Mousebot to be reborn from the ashes of the old Mousebot into the flames of modern consoles. I don't know where I was going with that exactly.
Jacob's wishes have come true.
Exactly.
It's, like, honestly, it's true. Because I was like 4 years ago when I first reviewed MouseBot, I was totally stoked with it. And of course, I had that that little game thing that hooked up to my iPhone, wherever the hell it is.
I don't know.
I just bring it up just to annoy Joe that I don't know where it's at anymore.
Fuck you.
it's just like, yeah, I'm in total agreement because I had played it on my phone, but then also with the handheld like adapter thing to make it like a controller, and the controller thing felt so much smoother with it. So I am in total agreement that yeah, like it really did belong on consoles, and it's great that it finally gets its time to shine. I'm psyched, and I hope this game really does well.
Cool. Yeah, we actually, you know, the in the mobile version, we actually brought back for this version, for the remastered version, one of MouseBot's little moves that we took off. He has like a sidestep
move. The juke.
Move. Yeah. The juke. And we had that in the original game. And then we just decided that it was too complicated to sort of work it in with like all the touchscreen controls. And so we
jerk your phone to the side and throw your phone.
Yeah, exactly. You had to put a strap around your wrist so that you didn't put your phone through the TV.
Thanks, Wii.
So we took it off, but we were always kind of sad. And so when we decided to do the console version, that was one of the first things that we wanted to do, was bring back the juke.
Yeah, and I have been able to play around with it, and I've got to say, it does, like, I mean, it's a very welcome addition. Like, I'm still getting used to it a little bit, because, like, part of my brain still runs back to, like, the, you know, just trying to dodge everything with my control stick. But, like, I'm slowly warming up to it. Like, I mean, it feels right and it makes sense, but, you know, I'm getting used to it. But
yeah.
It was definitely the right thing to do to bring it back in. Like, I mean, you can either make yourself have, like, an even bigger challenge without it, but or you can use it and, you know, save yourself some screaming at the TV, but yeah, you know.
Just a little bit of screaming.
Oh god, yeah. Did you follow my tweets last night, or was that just Deb liking everything?
That was Deb liking everything.
Okay, yeah. I totally forgot like when the water levels come in on for Cat Lab 4, and oh my god, the waves, and it took me so damn long, and I forgot that you can't jump when you're in the water, and it was just
right.
and then the very next lap, it's the lasers. I'm like, oh good, all right, well this will be nice and easy, and then it's lasers plus water, and I'm just like and it took me so damn long to remember you have to go under the lasers, because like I'm so used to going over because of the little grinders.
Yeah.
And like, so I'm used to going over them, and it took me so damn long to realize I need to go under the lasers. And it was just, that was embarrassing. And I hope you guys aren't keeping like statistics on how many times I die, because it's a bit.
yeah. It's definitely, I think it's our most controller throwy game.
Yeah, my
what stats,
like,
are you tracking? Like, do you keep track of how many deaths there are per level or anything?
No, on mobile. Well, you know what? It's interesting. We have an internal system, like a debugging system, that we can use to track ourselves when we're playtesting the game. But we don't use that. We don't have it hooked up to anything in, you know, we don't track users that are actually playing the game once it's out in the wild. But although it would be kind of fun to keep stats on that stuff, I don't think we have a stats screen, but that would be a good candidate for an update, because you could certainly keep track of like how many times you died on each level and like how many times you got killed by the grinders or the lasers or whatever.
That actually would be handy. And I don't know. I mean, like, 'cause then you could also do like celebration stuff, like, you know, like, oh, if everyone dies this many times this way, you know, we'll unlock like a new skin or something like that.
Like, yeah, that was challenges. Actually, exactly. We actually had, that was a feature that ended up on the chopping block, but but it's something, it's a candidate for an update if the game catches on. To do like, the first thing we were talking about doing was just cheese collecting. And so, you know, like enough cheese to, the ultimate goal would be like, you know, a moon's worth of cheese. Like, but
you collect enough cheese that it weighs the, like, you know, it has the same weight as the moon.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, we could work our way up to like a, you know, wheel of cheese or a, I guess, a school bus full of cheese or a Eiffel Tower of cheese or something.
You'll be surprised how quick that'll fill up.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, you do get a lot of
business. All right, listeners, when this thing becomes available, I want you all to buy this because I want this DLC update to be a thing. Do it now. I don't ask anything of cheese. You.
Yeah, I ask so little. Well,
Jacob,
you know,
making demands of our listeners like we have many.
All five of you.
Exactly. Mousebot is one of those games that I always think, like, you know, like we announce, like, hey, it's coming out on console. And then Jacob and like 10 other people are like, yay! And we're like, all right.
Best day ever.
All right, crew, let's do this.
I think something that's really going to help it is the fact that you guys are going with a $5 price tag, right?
How can that not help? Right,
like, that is such a cheap price point for this game, and there are so many friggin' levels in this game.
There's a ton. We added 20 more levels, actually 24 more levels.
I was gonna say it felt like there was more levels to this game that I was like, because I was like thumbing through everything, and I was just like, this seems longer than when I was playing it on mobile. Like,
yeah,
okay, all right.
We added a bunch, and
Edits made to specific levels by chance? Like, did you like go through all the old levels with like a comb and like, you know, this works here or anything like that?
We didn't change the old levels very much. Like, there was one or two places where we tweaked things, especially once we put the sidestep in. We tweaked a couple of things, but yeah, we didn't change the old levels that much.
Excellent.
Well, one thing
so
that we
thus
did
continuing
do.
Continuing the series, Jacob is just terrible.
Yeah. Confirmed.
Exactly. Another chapter in the book. One thing that we did that made it all harder was we changed the level goals. Like, it used to be, I mean, on the mobile version of Mousebot, there's like, you know, you can collect like whatever 70% of the cheese on the level and you like get that goal check mark. And I think that was about it. And that maybe there's like one other goal, but then we added a whole bunch of goals for every level for this one. So there's like, you know, the sub cheese goal, and then there's 100% cheese or max cheese, we called it.
And then the heart chip.
Yeah, there's the heart chip, and there's the time challenge. Not dying, which is really hard. The time challenge is really hard. Right.
Okay, yeah, the time challenges mean.
Yeah. All right. So I need to ask about that. All right. So the time challenges, you have to get exactly that time when you go through, or is it under?
No, you have to get that time or under.
Huh. Because there was a couple of levels where I got under, and it wouldn't, like... Yeah, it didn't give it to me. Mm. And I was just like, oh my god, is this game, like, do I somehow have to time this so it's like 59 seconds, 0.04 milliseconds? Like, like, this is the most brutal thing.
Well, so I'm just going to assume that something happened there that, you know, something magical happened there. But, but if you did, I mean, it's totally possible. Like, we did test all of these, but it's always possible. So let us know if there's like a particular level where you see that happen. Like, send it to us.
I'll be replaying this, so don't worry about that.
Yeah,
but you're gonna be keeping charts and documents and
slideshows. Like, in your house with like yarn and like
I was gonna say it's gonna look like that picture of Charlie Day on It's Always Sunny,
yeah, like a piece of cheese in the middle.
Yeah, it was a conspiracy theory wall.
The time challenges are really hard, though. It's have to not die and just
not get any cheese.
Not get any cheese and just take like the shortest possible route through every single level. It's pretty difficult.
Yeah, those are
but
mean.
Those are all just bonuses. You know, if you get all those, then you
get their achievements.
Their achievements.
Those are important. Exactly. Those are achievements.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I want to say thank you for making the achievements more approachable in this game as opposed to Beach Buggy. I actually got a couple in this game.
Yay, yeah, Joe.
The Beach Buggy ones were pretty obscure. The, we kept the achievements pretty simple for this one. I think we only have 12 achievements or something. There's a few more than that. There's like 16, I think, because there's one for each level for the Easter egg in each chapter. Right. And then there's the other achievements.
Complete the game, collect all the heart chips, max cheese, beat the time goal in every level, and complete every level without dying. Those are going to be tough.
They are going to be tough. Some of the, I haven't gotten on my own playthrough, I have to admit, I haven't gotten the time goal and the complete it without dying yet. I'm still working on it.
Well, at least there's the heart chips, right? What are the heart chips about?
Yeah, so the heart chips is a new mechanic, which basically is, so the way that we're doing the lives in this game is you start off the game with two spare lives. And so when you start up any maze, you can die three times. Well, you can die two times. If you die a third time, then you get booted out of the maze. And then as you collect heart chips, it works kind of like the heart pieces in Zelda. So like you collect heart chips, and when you fill up your heart meter, it adds another life to your meter. So you can get... there's enough heart chips in each chapter to add an extra life. So you can get all the way up to like 12 lives or something when you collect all the heart chips in the game. So that means when you get into some of the harder levels, you know, you could have like 7 or 8 lives in your pocket. And so you have that many chances to get past the maze.
So when you fail, you feel that much worse about yourself.
Exactly. You're like, what's wrong with you?
But with the heart chips, that's cumulative, right? Like, I mean, so... Like that, like that's a permanent add-on to your mouse, right?
Yeah, and if you miss a heart chip, then you know you can just forget about it. But then, like when you get later on in the game and it gets harder, you can go back and kind of grind for some of the heart chips that you missed, so you can, you know, life up.
Jacob's mind is blown.
I know.
Well,
and
I
so
mean,
you
like,
guys, you just got the code like earlier this week, right? Just yesterday.
Yesterday. We've had about a day with it, and it's, man, this is a fun game. I love this game so much. I'm so glad you guys brought it to console.
I'm so glad.
Me, obviously, as well.
I really like this game, too. It's just, like, really, there's certain parts of the game that even now, like, going back to it after a couple years of, you know, it sitting on the shelf, like, going back to it again, like, the cats just always make me laugh. I think they're so, like... The our lead artist, Tim, who designed all the cats, like one of her goals was to make them seem like kind of stupid, like kind of like you can't even really tell if maybe it's just a regular cat with regular cat intelligence that's dressed up like a scientist. You know, like they're not actually that smart.
They're just normal cats cosplaying. There's some sick, twisted pet owner forcing his cats to... I am not that sick, twisted cat owner, by the way. I should make that clear.
I had to add that disclaimer.
I am not dressing my cats up in scientist outfits, although that would
what
be
are you
really cute. That would be really cute.
With a little monocle.
So what other changes did you make bringing it to console?
Let's see. Well, so there's one other pretty big change, but you guys haven't uncovered it yet, which is there's another game mode that we added. The arcade mode, which so after you finish the final boss, you unlock arcade mode, which is basically it's super fast. It's an extra 50% faster. So everything, the traps are faster, the mouse is faster.
Oh, God.
And you just play through from the beginning of level one. You play straight through the game, just one level after another, and just see how much cheese you can collect and how far you can get.
On one life, three lives.
You start off, so the lives in this case works. The heart chips still work, but they just work within the context of the game that you're playing. So you start a new arcade game. You have two lives, or no, three, same as before. And as you collect the heart chips, you add more lives. And as you die, you subtract lives. And so you kind of like just make your way through and see how far you can get.
So you're not building a permanent upgrade. You're just collecting it for that run.
Yeah, exactly. Gotcha. And the upgrades that you've collected by playing through the story and career mode, like, don't affect arcade mode. You always start off with the same number of lives in arcade mode.
Gotcha.
But yeah, arcade mode is fun. It's like a new way to play. It's really challenging. It starts off, you know, it's just like the regular levels. It starts off pretty easy, but you get through those pretty quickly. And then just, you know, figuring out the timing of everything when it's going 50% faster is pretty tricky.
I'm sure Jacob will master it.
Yeah. Oh,
sure. Or not. let's not give you too much credit on this one.
Yeah. Careful.
It'll be like my wife last night, where she's just like, are you really getting this angry at like a mouse game? Yes, I am.
Shut up, hon.
It is, like I said, it's our, you know, our most angrifying game. I love it. I love to get angry at it. Our level designer, I mean, so Tim, who is our lead artist, she also did most of the level design. And she got to the point, you know, because she was working on this, just like totally immersed in it. She got to the point where she was really good, like way better than the rest of us. And so she was designing some of these levels towards the end. Like, we added another, I don't know, four or five levels to like the final chapter, the boss chapter. And God, some of those are just so hard. They're so hard. And
it's hard when the guy who made the game is just confirming that, yes, it's really friggin' hard.
Yeah,
and on like top of it, like, he confirms it with like a sigh. It's just like a sigh. Defeated sigh. That's just like, God, it's so hard.
Yeah, no. I mean, we usually like a lot of times we with our racing games, you know, we end up kind of dumbing down the AI a little bit right at the end, you know, because we're playing the game for like a year or two while we're making it, and we get better and better and better at it, and the game seems like it's tuned well for us, and then when the game is ready to come out, we realize, like, oh my God, people who are playing it for the first time are getting crushed. And so, but with Mousebot, we didn't really want to simplify it. Like, we just wanted to keep it hard and let it stay hard so that people could enjoy that feeling of wanting to take their controller and snap it over their knee.
I thought you were going to say accomplishment, but yeah, that too.
Fuck pride. You.
Yeah.
Oh my Lord.
Let's see. So, I mean, those are the main changes. I mean, we made some other changes. Like, we just stripped out all the, you know, because the mobile version is like a free-to-play game. So we just stripped all that stuff out and put in more of like a, you know, regular progression mechanic type of thing.
And then you have the 4K and 60 frames per second on the high-powered consoles.
Yes. That's the things one of look the nice pretty. Things about, yeah, that's one of the nice things about you know, porting a game that originally was designed for high-powered phones, let's say, then all of a sudden you have all this like computing power, and you're like, we can totally do 4K, no problem. So yeah, it's nice, and it's like, you know, it's got like a very kind of streamlined, stylized, cartoony kind of look to it, and so it works pretty well in like high resolution and nice, smooth, fast frame rates.
The animation looks great.
Yeah.
I want to ask, do you have more enjoyment creating courses that are start to finish like they are in Mousebot, or do you find more enjoyment creating looped courses like you find in Riptide or Beach Buggy?
Oh.
Hmm. I guess, for the most part, I like doing courses that are start to finish, like point to point.
Do they give you more freedom? I would assume you're not as constricted.
Definitely. Like in the, Mousebot is, the mazes are all built on a single plane, and so there's no elevation change, and so it doesn't matter quite as much with Mousebot, I guess. But with a racing game like Riptide, or you know, Hydro Thunder, like those games are, you know, you can put in like these massive like jumps and drops and stuff like that when you're just going point to point, and you don't have to worry about how are you going to get back up to the level starting line. So that kind of stuff is fun. But also, yeah, you can do a little bit more like of a progression when it's point to point. Like the mouse bot levels all definitely, and the race levels that we've done that are point to point, like they all sort of start off with a theme, and like they kind of build up some of the challenges, and then they kind of crescendo in like a really difficult sequence, and then you have like the at the end. So the denouement.
Do you use in fancy words? Our listeners don't know those words.
I don't even know what it means.
Me neither.
So I would definitely say point to point is more, it's more fun.
Now you added the sidestep or juke feature into this. Was there anything that you folks were working on for this version that like ended up on the cutting room floor and might make a return later on, or?
Let's see. I mean, there were definitely a few kind of like metagame things that we wanted to do that didn't quite make it in, and that we're still kind of, we're taking a wait and see approach. You know, if we get some traction off of the initial release of the game, then we'll be like, okay, let's do an update. Like one thing that we didn't do that I really wanted to do is leaderboards, especially for the arcade mode, because the arcade mode is just made for leaderboards, and we didn't get a chance to put that in right at the end. So I feel somewhat confident that we're going to be able to do an update, probably like in the fall or something like that, where we add leaderboards. We just kind of ran out of time. But and then there was like the community goal stuff that we were talking about, like the cheese, you know, filling up the moon with cheese and stuff. I think those things would be really fun.
More cats.
More, so many more cats.
Well, because I mean, something that I was thinking about this afternoon, because I was playing Mario Kart 8 with my kids, we were doing like some of the battle levels, and I was just like, I could see like a mouse bot thing where it's just like you're just, you know, rolling across the whole thing, like, and you can boost and knock somebody else into like a laser, or you know, knock them into a grinder, kind of like a battle bots thing, I guess, except with mouse bots.
That would be cool, like a you know how in Ready Player One, there was that race where like all the cars started off, and then like they were just sort of racing towards the finish line, and as they like exploded or hit, you know, flaming obstacles or whatever, they would get knocked out until there was just like one or two racers left. You could do something kind of like that, where it's just like a bunch of mouse bots like tearing through a level, and then as they die, you just like end up with like fewer and fewer and fewer until you have like one that crosses the finish line.
Oh my gosh, that would actually be pretty crazy, like 16 mouse bots all going at once on like a regular level.
Oh, that's a great
now,
idea.
Now, would you make it a procedural level so that it goes until there's only one person left, or do you go Fall Guys style and have a series of eliminations until there's a winner at the end? Or Jacob, did you just want like an arena battle game? Was that what you were talking about?
All of these.
Jacob wants all of it.
Mousebot 2 is going to be packed.
honestly, I was just thinking of like a normal level. You just have 16 of them, and whoever gets to the end first gets in. That kind of thing.
Yeah, the door closes behind the first mouse, and the rest of the mice just get electric.
Incinerated.
The we actually did. That was another thing that we talked about with this game was doing a procedural endless version of it, because that would be totally doable with the way that these levels are constructed. It would be doable from the art and design side. It would take a little work from Ralph to get the tech to work. But you know, if we had that game Beach Buggy Blitz that came out years and years and years ago, which was a procedural racer like that, where you basically would just race until the time ran out. And you could totally do something kind of like that for Mousebot.
Was that a mobile game, or was I can't remember.
Blitz was a mobile game. Blitz was our first, was the first Beach Buggy game. I think we did it after, I can't remember now if we did it after or before Riptide 2. I think it was right before. I think it was in between Riptide and Riptide GP and Riptide GP 2. We did Beach Buggy Blitz, and then Beach Buggy Blitz, although we really liked it and it was fun, it wasn't that successful, but we were like, people kept asking us to do, to add weapons to it. And we were like, you know, this game would actually be pretty fun if it was like a kart racing game. And so that was, out of that came Beach Buggy Racing.
Could Beach Buggy Blitz be the next game that gets reborn for console?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm still hoping for Shine Runners though.
Shine Runner, man. We've talked about that too. Like,
Shine Runner.
The Shine Runner. You know how in Beach Buggy Racing 2, Island Adventure, there's the whole adventure mode with like the map where there's like the big 3D map and you kind of navigate around and upgrade your cars and stuff. And we were talking, when we were talking about like what to work on next, that was one of the ideas that came up was, like, God, this would be perfect for Shine Runner. We could just do this huge, like, you know, bayou map, and you just cruise around and upgrade your boat and trade moonshine.
It's time to bring it back.
This is fascinating. I never even heard of this game till now, and I'm just like I'm just looking at it right now on Google, and I'm just like, hell yeah, I need this. Like, please bring this to Xbox. Yeah. Forget everyone else.
It's a classic.
So what is Vector Unit working on next? I'm sure something else is in the tank, brewing, bubbling. Is anything you can talk about or any hints you can drop?
Let's see. Well, we are working on, so like over the last year and a half, we've been totally just like heads down absorbed on making the console version of Beach Buggy Racing and then the console version of Mousebot. And so now we're kind of going back and putting some love back into the mobile version of Beach Buggy Racing 2. We have some of this work is going to make its way onto the console too. Like we're doing some new cars, like some more absurd cars, like a six-wheeled tank and a UFO and
yes, bring those to console, please, definitely.
So we're doing some of that. So we're gonna work on and we're making some other changes to the mobile version, like we're increasing the level cap and doing some other stuff. So we're doing that for at least the next, I don't know. That's going to keep us busy for another month or two, I guess. And then we have like a few ideas that we're kicking around. It's kind of too early to say anything, but yeah, we're kicking around a few different ideas. It's probably going to be a racing game.
What?
I know.
But the news bombs today.
After yeah, exactly. After when Mousebot, you know, just takes off like a rocket to the moon next week, then we're going to change everything around and just put all hands on deck for Mousebot 2.
Nice. With the Fall Guys progression, tournament style, deathmatch, and then arena battles, and what else could we do?
Yeah, all of it. There's going to be a soccer game.
The Easter egg is going to be Jacob's face.
As the soccer ball, so I just constantly just keep getting kicked.
Yes. It'll be perfect. And we'll put Joe's cat in the game as like the master.
Oh, which one?
Master. Oh, how many do you have?
13.
Oh, okay. We'll put all of them in.
Yeah. I don't know if I could get all of them together for a picture. I don't think we've ever had a picture of all 13.
It's like herding cats.
It is.
You'll just have to like, yeah, I don't know.
The closest is like 11 at breakfast.
Oh, yeah, I saw that picture. Holy crap. Like, my allergies would just be going wild during that.
Yeah, I know. Just actually, I was thinking the same thing. I'm allergic to cats also. And just the thought of 11 cats in the room together.
Whatever.
Your throat's getting scratchy right now.
Whenever I visit Joe's house, I have to double up on my allergy medication before I go.
That's why he doesn't visit anymore. He makes me meet him up for for Cracker Barrel instead, halfway in between.
That's a good excuse. Any excuse for Cracker Barrel.
Oh, we should do that again, Jacob. So, I'm hungry.
Yeah, probably. You're hungry right now? Joe, I don't know how to tell you this, but they're all closed right now. Yeah, it's 9:30 at night.
Sheets is always open.
Sheets is not Cracker Barrel, and for the love of God, don't compare the two.
What is wrong?
But so I know we were joking, but was there actually talk about Mousebot 2 or
is... No. No, okay. Not really.
Jesus, Jacob, you're getting one. Leave it. Just let the man sleep.
Well, no, because I was just like, oh, man. Like, I know he was probably kidding, but I really don't want to leave this like last time where I'm left with so many questions unanswered.
So many unanswered questions. No, I think that the thing that's more likely is that we probably would either expand, we probably would just expand the first Mousebot console game with. Like I was saying, some of the things that we talked about, like some of the leaderboards and the community achievements and stuff like that. And then, and then we'll see. I mean, I have no idea what to expect, you know, like this game. It's funny because Mousebot as a mobile game, like, you know, it had a little bit of a following on Android, a little bit on iOS. And then for some reason, it did really well on Amazon. Like, it's like this huge game for us on Amazon, like on Fire TV and stuff. I don't know why. Just people on Fire TV love Mousebot. And so I have no idea what to expect for console. But like you were saying, it's only $5. It's like the price of not even a burrito, like a Taco Bell burrito.
So there's so many shitty games that release at $5 these days that when a good one comes out, you really want to get behind it and support it and encourage people to invest their $5 in a game like this because it's really worth the money.
Exactly.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
I'm selling your game for you.
Thank you. We just wanted to get as much Mousebot into the world as possible. You know,
that's a fair goal.
Yeah.
I more Mousebot,
the better.
More Mousebot, the better, indeed.
So, I mean, obviously we know it's released for Xbox because that's what we're all playing it on. Is this getting released on other consoles as well? Or
yes, it's coming out on PlayStation and Nintendo Switch and also Steam PC.
Oh, huh.
Excellent. So everybody gets to play it.
Everybody gets to play.
Except Stadia.
Except Stadia.
Wah, wah, wah.
Do either of you have Stadia?
No. I guess I have an account because I played, what was it? Immortals, the demo, when they had it on there. But I think I have an actual account. I'm not subscribed to it, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, there's like, I've played a little bit of streaming games. Like, I've played on a couple of the streaming game services, and for games like ours that are super twitchy, like, there's always just that tiny, tiny little bit of lag that is just a little too much, you know?
Yeah.
But for like, some games, it's
unforgivable amount.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for like a fighting game or a racing game or a platformer, like, it just doesn't work. But then for some games, like, I was playing, what's that game called? Call of the Sea. Have you seen that? It's like a sort of like a cartoony kind of not scary Lovecraft.
I wish Cole was here because I'm pretty sure she's played that.
Yeah, it's really pretty. I like it a lot because I like the whole sort of Lovecraft, you know, mythos, but it's an interesting version of it because it's, you know, it's not super scary. Like, it's just kind of mysterious and cool. And it looks really good anyway, but that game is, you know, it's kind of like Firewatch or something like that. Like, you don't need to have like super precise second to second or nanosecond control over it.
Yeah. I've so been totally playing fine. Dragon Quest 11 through xCloud in my bedroom on my iPad now that they have it on there.
And how's that?
It works great. Cause it's an RPG. It's just,
yeah,
I thought xCloud, it works better on my computer as opposed to up on my iPad in the bedroom on Wi-Fi. Obviously, it's going to be shittier on Wi-Fi, but I was still fairly impressed with how well it worked. When my wife was in the hospital a couple months ago, I was playing MLB The Show. So an Xbox game on my iPhone in a hospital, but a PlayStation game.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is pretty amazing.
It's trippy what world we're in with technology and where you can play stuff and game.
Yeah, absolutely. And Yeah, and so I mean, like Mousebot, probably not the best fit for for anything with a little bit of latency on it. But
oh my god.
And you don't want to, throwing your controller is one thing, but throwing your iPad or your phone is it something else?
Yeah, you don't want to throw a $1,200 phone or tablet.
No,
that would be bad.
I mean, sometimes you do want to throw them, but yeah. Usually you know better.
Oh man, so what are you playing these days? What's keeping you entertained in the world of gaming?
Let's see. I've been kind of going through some of my back catalog of like Steam games that I bought on sale and then just didn't play because there's too many of those.
Oh yeah.
And so I was like, this is on sale. I want it. I gotta have it. And then I was like, oh, I don't have any time. And so I've just been playing some of these. Like I've been playing Art of Rally. Have you ever played that? It's on Steam. I don't know whether or not it's on Xbox, but it's sort of a top-down rally racing game. It's got like the kind of car physics that I like, which is, you know, a little bit realistic, but still kind of arcadey. And I like the look of this. Yeah, right. It's all like sort of cartoony and sort of flat colored, and it's nice. It's just like a good kind of relaxing racing game experience. And they got the sort of power sliding and like the multiple car like driving surfaces and stuff. They got the feel of that pretty good. So I've been playing that a little bit. And then like I said, I've been playing Call of the Sea. I think I'm almost done with that, but. Yeah, I think it's partly the art style. Like there's a consistency with all of these, which is like that sort of really colorful, kind of cartoony, simplified art style that I've been digging lately.
Yeah, and then looking I just at this Art of Rally, apparently it's coming to PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and Game Pass this summer. So
there you go. Yeah, that's a good one. I would recommend it. It's pretty fun. Does it say how much it's going to be?
No, but it'll be on Game Pass, so...
Yeah, there you go.
If you have Game Pass, you're set. Has Vector Unit tried getting any games on Game Pass?
We have. In fact, I think we have... let me think. I think Hydro Thunder is on Game Pass. It has been off and on, and I can't remember... Because they do like these year-long contracts with Game Pass, so it's like, we'll put it on for a year. And I can't remember if it's on or off right now, but I think it's on. And Riptide GP Renegade was on Game Pass for a while, too.
I love Game Pass. we talk about it on this show way too much.
It's such a plethora.
Oh, where's Cole? She loves that word, too. Plethora.
It is. It's just so many games. But it's fun. I like being able to just... I mean, especially because for me, sometimes I just want to try something just to, you know, either for research or just because, you know, I don't know if I'm really going to invest the time to like finish it, but I just want to play it for an hour or two just to see what it's all about. And it's so good for that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. I've demoed so many games and I've bought so many games that I've played on Game Pass. It's just good stuff. But,
yeah.
I know we've been chatting for a while. Jacob, did you have any other questions you wanted to ask?
I mean, there was one that I've been rolling around, and it's just like, because I've been thinking about your folks' previous games, and almost all of them are racing. I think Mousebot's, it seems like Mousebot's probably the only one that's not quite a racing game. I mean, although there's still elements of it. Have you folks thought about like expanding into different genres, or is it just like we're good at racing? Like our audience seems to like it. This is what we're sticking with, kind of thing.
It's a little bit of that. Like we enjoy it. We feel like pretty confident about it. And so it reduces the risk for us when we're doing a new game to kind of stick with that genre. But on the other hand, like we do talk a lot about, you know, what can you do with like the sort of basic racing mechanic that's not just like get from one place to another first or get from one place to another faster than everybody else. And so like Mousebot kind of came out of that a little bit because like you said, it's still on some level a driving game, but it's kind of like a driving platformer game. And like Shinerunner also is like a driving game, but it's more of like a driving, like sort of trading smuggling game.
Yeah, we really got to get that one on console.
It is actually Shinerunner. Yeah, Shinerunner has its potential.
Every time you come on, I bring it up and you're like, it's a good idea. I'm telling you.
Right. And now
this is the now that Mousebot's here.
Now that you've placated Jacob, I mean, you know, right. wide open for other projects for me to not bother you about.
Exactly. Now it's Joe's turn.
Yes. Hey, I just want a special thanks in the credits one of these years. That's all I want. I want to see myself in the credits of a game.
In lights.
I want to feel special without having paid on Kickstarter.
But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, we're going to do like sort of racy type games for the foreseeable future, but we do talk about doing other things. Like Ralph and I both love, we love like sort of hack and slash RPG type games and platform games. Actually, working on Mousebot kind of gave all of us a little bit of a yearning for doing like a platform game that's more like a character based game, like a running and jumping that we have sort of more different types of abilities and not just like a driving game. It's always a possibility. It's something we talk about for sure.
Well, we'll see what the future holds, and whatever comes our way, hopefully you'll come on and chat with us and tell us about it.
Anytime. I always enjoy it.
Well, we love having you on. Is there anything else you wanted to discuss before we let you get going?
No, I think that's it. We covered Mousebot. I'm just really happy that I was able to follow up on our conversation a few months ago when we were talking about Beach Buggy, and Jacob dropped his, expressed his yearning for Mousebot. I was really happy that we were able to help you out there, Jacob.
How far along was the game when he mentioned that?
It was, we had definitely already started to kind of dust it off and work on it, but we hadn't 100% decided that we were like just full steam ahead going for it. So it was around the same time. Like it was literally like the week that we were talking about, should we do this or not? When Jacob was like, you guys got to do Mousebot.
Yeah, because that actually makes sense, because I do remember your response, because you had this like kind of like, interesting, like there is an audience for this. All right.
Yeah. I think we actually had been just talking about it like that day or something. Like it was pretty fresh. So
crazy how the world works.
I know.
All right. Well, we will let you get going. Thank you so much for joining us. It is always a pleasure having you on. Keep us updated when the fall update comes, if it happens, as well as DLC hats. That has to happen, right?
Sure, right.
Everyone does DLC hats. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
No, just thanks a lot for having me on again. And I hope Cole gets better. And good luck with all the cats.
All right, well, you have yourself a wonderful night, and we will let you get going.
All right, thanks, you guys. Thanks, Joe. See thanks, you, Jacob. Matt.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
All right, you ready to do more show? You're gonna sigh your way through it. We got more shit to take care of. Got some news. Paul's not here, so you're gonna entertain me with the news. It's being reported that Warner Brothers is looking to sell, quote, the Mortal Kombat in Lego Studios in Netherrealm and Traveler's Tale. So what do you think of that?
I mean, first off, I haven't heard that report. Second, it doesn't surprise me because Warner Brothers, I believe, is actually owned by AT&T at this point. And the thing is that they've actively been looking at selling off DC Comics. Now, they would hold all the intellectual property. But what is most likely, what is supposedly being talked about behind closed doors is that they would just let some other publisher run with the comics. AT&T essentially don't see long term, and it seems like they get the value in IP, but they don't want to have to do all the legwork to make it viable.
So they're lazy.
Well, yeah, and it's just if it's not immediately making them money, they don't care.
Nice.
That's part of the thing with HBO Max, like, and its difficulties getting off the ground at first, but also with DC Universe and a handful of other paid streaming services. I mean, at least AT&T, at least they had the foresight to be like, yo, get your shit together. We're just going to combine everything in one, like, one package. Like, this is ridiculous.
LaBelle in chat saying, with how Birds of Prey was, yeah, they were lazy.
I haven't seen it yet. I mean, I heard decent things about it. On the other hand, the early reviews of The Suicide Squad are really great.
Are they?
Yeah, the James Gunn version, obviously not the David Ayer. Although, I saw the last movie, I thought it was okay. Like, if somebody told me the director's cut was, like, their favorite action movie, I wouldn't say anything out loud. Like,
fair.
But the fact that they're trying to sell off the Mortal Kombat and is it? Traveler's Tales?
Yeah, TT Studios.
Yeah. I mean, it's disappointing, but at the same time, I mean, it's not like Warner Brothers is forcing them to make, like, Warner Brothers specific games. I mean, it's like the next one to come out is a Star Wars game. Like, they've had, I mean, yeah, they do, like, a DC one, like, what, like, every other year, it seems like? But,
it's,
I mean, they also...
been a while also, since we've seen a different Lego game out, though.
Well, the last one that... Well, that's because they've been working on the Skywalker Saga one, which got pushed to, hopefully, the end of the year. I mean, they've done the DC ones, they did Harry Potter, but other than that, there's really been nothing. Meanwhile, they're making ones, like, they made ones for Jurassic World, they have Star Wars out there. They have Pirates of the Caribbean. They have Indiana Jones. The Hobbit one came back from being delisted, but they still have yet to undelist Lord of the Rings. So I don't know if maybe that's going to get a remake or something. But Lego also, or sorry, Warner Brothers also no longer holds the Lego franchise to make movies with. That's why there's no Lego Batman 2. Universal has it now, so
interesting.
It's like, yeah, so it's like, it's almost like they really have no hat in the game. It would, like, so I mean, like, I kind of get it, especially since it seemed, I mean, does Traveler's Tales do any, or TT Games, like, do they do anything other than make Lego games?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because I mean, like, the Lego World thing, like, I mean, I heard decent reviews about it, but it's like,
I mean, they did Lego Rock Band, but even that was still a Lego game, and the engine was from Harmonix.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I need to get that one. Damn it. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, selling off TT Games doesn't surprise me as much, but selling off Mortal Kombat or Netherworld, that one would, because, I mean, it's just, or Netherrealm. I mean, it's just, what are you going to do? Because, I mean, Mortal Kombat's their bread and butter, so unless you're also going to get rid of the Mortal Kombat IP along with it,
no,
then what's the point? And besides which, if they're not busy making Mortal Kombat, they're busy making Injustice, which is also another Warner Brothers IP. So no. It's like...
Well, I could see them going without Injustice.
I don't know. I mean, it's both games are held pretty decently, and it's just...
But I mean, if they're selling, I could see them selling off Netherrealm and the Mortal Kombat franchise and just being like, you know what? Injustice had its run, whatever. We're done with you guys. I could see that happening. And by the way, Traveler's Tales, I'm looking at their list of games. There are three games that don't have Lego in them.
What are they?
One is Bionicle Heroes.
That's a Lego game.
Which, doesn't say Lego.
Shut up. It's a Lego game. But also, I have one achievement left in that game that I need to go back and get. Like, I need to fire up my Xbox 360 just to freaking get that. And the worst thing is that I think it's nothing but grinding. Like, I think I beat the game. It's just I have to have X amount of studs.
No, nice.
And it's just, oh, God, I hate it.
Well, Bionicle Heroes is one. And then the Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian. And then Transformers the Game.
Oh, no, for the first movie? Oh, no.
But yeah, there you go. Three games good. From Traveler's Tales that don't have the word Lego in the title.
Gosh.
But yeah. Some other news. It's being reported that Titanfall is down to only 1 to 2 people left working on it while the rest of the team is working on Apex.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Like, I mean, they've made it perfectly clear. Apex Legends is the moneymaker.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just... I mean, they constantly sell Titanfall 2 for like $5, and it's like the complete edition. And I just look at it because I know years ago I bought it in a bundle with Battlefield. I think it was Battlefield 1. Like I bought the two of them together for like $15
or some shit. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, and neither game I've gone back to play. Like, I mean, nobody gives a shit about Titanfall, so I mean...
Well, Titanfall 2 is still good, and the campaign was still really good in Titanfall 2, so that's still worth playing.
I mean, it's just, yeah, but the thing is that it's just like, if all the money's being made in Apex Legends, then...
Yeah.
I mean, I could just see EA just killing it. Like,
I don't know. We'll see. Double Fine revealed that Psychonauts 2 will feature an invincibility toggle that will supposedly not affect achievements. I know Cole would be super excited to hear that since she is a fan of accessibility and easy difficulties counting, which I agree with. I think if you beat the game on easy, you still beat the game.
Yeah. I mean, and I had chatted... Oh, Jesus Christ, I got a fly in here or something. I had chatted with a few people on Twitter when Xbox had announced that, and pretty much, like, for... It was a few other parents like myself. You know, we all work full-time jobs. We've got multiple kids. And it's just, we don't have time for, like, Dark Souls level shit. Like, and we don't have time for, like, 80-hour RPGs. And so, like, just being able to have, like, some sort of obvious easy mode or even invincibility just so I could go through the game and just get shit done.
Yeah.
Like, that means, like, that just means so damn much to me that, like, I don't have to, like, constantly... because like one of the other things that annoys me is I'll like pick up a game, but then, you know, I'm busy reviewing stuff for this podcast, or I'm giving it as an example, or like I'm playing stuff with my kids, and so I don't return to said game until like a month later, and I've already forgotten the controls. I don't remember what the hell's going on, you know.
Oh yeah.
And so it's just like, it's either I restart the game or I just never play it again. And it's just, it would be nice if I could just, you know, have that invincibility thing just so I could get my bearings without completely fucking up my game. And that would, honestly, that would be great. And I know it would be great for people with access, like, you know, who need accessibility stuff.
Yeah. You know what I need? I need an alert for when people follow me. I apparently don't have an audio alert for that. So, LaBelle, thanks for the follow. Thank you for hanging out with us, keeping me company while Jacob fucking annoys me. Yeah, I need some kind of alert for that. I've been meaning to do that. I have it for subs and bits, but not for follows. So I gotta...
What about DOMs?
Shut up. The newest DLC for Maneater titled Truth Quest is set to launch August 31st for $15.
Ooh. I mean, it would be good if I had actually gotten farther along in the game. So, I mean, maybe this will finally be incentive for me to dust it off.
There you go.
But yeah. I mean,
such a fun game. It is so ridiculously stupid.
What I played, I did really enjoy. So, you know, anything extra for this game would definitely be a welcome addition, and I would definitely pick it up any DLC.
Jordan says I'll get it if it has achievements.
Don't like. Fair. I feel like that's our mantra as well. Does it have achievements?
PSML yes, podcast. We'll get it if it has achievements.
My horse and me too. Yeah, we'll play it.
Sigh. Fuck it. Couple of delays. This is always sad news, but some games have been delayed. Ghostwire Tokyo has been delayed to early 2022. And I believe that is a year exclusive on PlayStation 5, so we won't see that on Xbox until the heat death of the universe.
Okay. By then, I might have gotten through my backlog, so that's cool.
Orin saying, I need my horse and me too. So do I. I don't have that game.
Yeah. What does it run for now at this point?
Like $100, something like that.
Yeah. And every single time my one friend goes over to England, I ask her to like look in the game shops for me, and it's never there. Like, it makes me sad.
Yeah, it'll never be there. LaBelle saying that Sega of America is asking the devs for Virtua Fighter to use rollback netcode in their new game, but the devs stated it is deemed not feasible, although they are aware of the high demand. I wish Tim was here because he knows so much more about fighting games and like the netcode and rollback netcode and whatever else. Like, I don't know much about fighting games, so I am so in the dark on that subject.
I had actually just heard of the term like yesterday, and everyone like made it seem like a very positive thing. So I
know people like that Guilty Gear Strive has rollback.
Yeah, I don't really know how exactly it plays out. Does it have to do with matching like internet speeds against two different people?
I have no clue.
Or something, or like, yeah, I'm not entirely sure, but. That does seem to be a selling point for these things. I like that we're now getting old enough that we're just like, yeah, man, I don't know how this tech works.
Goddamn kids these days. Computers.
Back in my day, I just got my ass kicked in Street Fighter 2 and called it a day.
Down, down, left, right, BA, you sons of bitches.
Shut up, Grandpa Joe. Take your pills.
More delays. Resident Evil Reverse, which was planned to release this month, has been bumped to 2022. It doesn't seem like anybody was really excited for this game anyway.
I don't even know what it's about.
This is the multiplayer online with all the characters from the series all together and fighting, and I don't know.
I have never... Yeah, but none of the online Resident Evil games have ever done well, have they?
No.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, honestly, I saw the announcement. Like, I saw like somebody on Twitter talking about it, and I wasn't sure. I'll be honest, I didn't know if it was a game or if it was the Netflix show that's coming out. I was just like, oh, that sucks.
No, it was the game that got bundled with Village.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Warhammer 40K Darktide is also delayed to spring 2022, and Big Daddy Dallas dropping by. Hey, how are you doing? Warhammer 40K Darktide delayed. What do you think of that?
I'll live.
You're terrible. I'm bummed about Darktide. That one looks really good.
I honestly have not played a Warhammer game since Kill Team on the Xbox 360. Hello? Did I just get kicked off the show?
No, you're here.
Oh, okay.
I just don't care what you have to say.
Well, that's... I don't care about what's coming out of my mouth, so that's equal.
Equal. Fair enough. Last bit of news that I have is Tetris Effect is being updated to Tetris Effect Connected version with cross-play across Xbox, PlayStation, Epic, and Steam all on August 18th.
Is that going to cost extra?
Well, it's a free update.
Oh, sexy.
And it's already how it is on Xbox. Basically, all the other platforms are getting the connected features that Xbox has.
Oh, well, yeah. So that's splendid for them.
Yeah, so the online is coming to everybody.
Yay.
Good shit. But that is the news I have. Any news you want to talk about?
So I got a few articles that I was a little surprised that you didn't cover. So, it's well known that the Resident Evil 8 Village, game on Steam is a tad broken due to DRM. However, the cracked version that's now out actually fixes all the issues that's caused by the DRM. Cause there was a...
Pancakes!
In the game, and so... Yeah, now that no longer happens. So, leave it to the illegal
the cracked version to perform better than the real version.
Yeah.
Why is it pirates always fix shit that doesn't need to be broken in the first place?
Because, I don't know, they're nice folks. Even though they love it. You know, even though they live on a smelly pirate ship. So, there's that. the rejected port of Super Mario Brothers 3 that ID Software, id Software, however you want to pronounce it, that they had made for MS-DOS, that has actually been donated to the Museum of Play.
Yeah, I saw that.
So if you want to go to the Museum of Play, you're more than welcome to actually check it out and try it. However, that's the only way that it's ever going to be available, obviously, because Nintendo said no.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. So there's that. Ubisoft had an internal report that says it's at a high risk of losing talent due to its toxic work culture, which surprises no one.
Yeah. Don't be a shitty employer and maybe people will work for you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I'm a shitty employer.
I know. I don't get paid for this.
Exactly. Fuck you.
I don't get paid. You know, I do reviews. I do our wonderful social media, which is always up to date, you know.
Always.
Especially our fantastic Facebook page, you know, which is pretty much it's just shit posts and memes at this point. I try.
It's like memes and a post like twice a week, if that.
Oh God, no, not even post. It's memes and news articles, and it's just like if I get like a day where the kids aren't in the house or stuff like that, and I really don't have any video games I really need to play, I'll like sit down and I'll try to hammer out and like get it caught up to Twitter, but it never happens. I'm usually always like five episodes behind, but
you're awful.
I know, but you get the work that you pay for.
Yeah, very true. That's I'll keep fair. That lip balm for myself next time, you son of a bitch. LaBelle is saying Netflix is talking about adding video games to their streaming network.
What's up?
Did you get dropped there for a second?
No. All I heard was doot, and then it went away. So I thought somebody was barging in on this call.
No, I think someone's trying to hack your phone.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
That would be really terrible if they leaked all my nudes.
Ugh.
It would be really terrible.
And LaBelle was saying Netflix adding video games to the streaming network. What do you think of that?
I'm curious as to how it's going to work out. Supposedly, it's going to roll out next year. It was rumored a couple weeks ago, and now like Netflix isn't exactly being coy about it, but I don't know how it's going to work out. And so it's like, is it going to be along the stuff of like that, Bandersnatch, like, except you're just playing like, you know, Dragon's Lair or Space Ace, or is it going to be like, are these going to be like actual video games? Like that part's what I'm curious about.
No.
and how they would manage to do that
and how they control.
I mean, for all we know, maybe it's something in-app, like if you already have the Netflix app on your Xbox or PlayStation, it's something within the Netflix app. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's obviously too early to tell, and it may just be like some bullshit that they try to spin, and it just ends up, as I said, it might just end up being like Space Ace or something like that. So, yeah.
Rupier's my jam bringing up Steam announcing the Steam Deck. Did you see that?
I did. I was going to bring that up, but, you know, thank you. Prevents me from having to talk more. So pretty much, from what I understand, it's going to be 64 gigs for its hard drive that can be upgraded with micro SD cards, kind of like a Switch. It's going to be $400. Valve has already said that it's just like... price wasn't really their concern. They wanted it to be set at maximum $400. So they might be taking a loss on this. But I'll be honest, like I'm kind of looking forward to this. Like my Steam library, because I haven't had a good PC in years, I haven't really gotten a chance to play all my stuff in my Steam library. If this is what it takes, hell, that'd be great.
If you're getting one of the high-end ones, because if you're buying this thing and you're just getting a 64-gig hard drive, it seems pointless, because they're going to have, for $529, a 256, and for $649, a 512-gig hard drive.
Okay. I didn't know about the upgraded models.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's not bad either.
I still like with the Xboxes, it's not enough storage. Games are too big.
Yeah. Kotaku had noted that. It's just like there's plenty of games on Steam that take up more than 64 gigs. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of cool that they're going into this foray because, I mean, now it opens up a lot of games for a quote-unquote portable release that normally weren't going to get one. And as I said, like, I mean, this would be really cool to, like, finally go through my Steam backlog. My only potential issue with it is comfort, because I have noticed that I can't really play with Steam, like, the usual Joy-Cons. On Nintendo Switch, I actually have to get a
Pro controller.
Yeah, one of the ones that looks like a Xbox controller. Mm-hmm. I am going to have to get one of those because I can't. My hands are just too old and potentially arthritic. I don't know.
We're getting old, man. We're falling apart.
Yeah, like I'm 36. Everything's falling apart. I was already fat. Now I'm also old. So
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
last bit of news that I have. So Sony has finally bought, I believe they're pronounced Nixes, N-I-X-X-E-S.
Yeah, that was a few weeks ago, wasn't it?
It was last week.
I thought it was a little before then. I don't know.
Well,
it was the same time as Housemark.
I mean, the
was that article last I'm week? Looking,
the, maybe? I don't know, man. I think so. But the article I'm looking at is dated the 8th. So, anyway, Nixes had done a bunch of PC ports for various Sony games, and now it looks like Sony's just going to straight up buy them and just have them port probably PlayStation games. So, you know, if your game was previously only exclusive to PlayStation, it may get another life on PC. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah, I'm always down for that. More games to not play on my Steam account.
On the topic of Switch controllers, Root Beer chimed in, get a grip, Jacob. You ready for your review?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, review time. First game to talk about tonight is called Crash Drive 3, developed and published by M2H, released July 8th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. So many platforms. Are you ready for the car-stunting playground? Experience ridiculous fun in this cross-platform multiplayer free-roaming game. Drive monster trucks, tanks, and more amazing vehicles across a huge open world. Level up, play events, earn cash, unlock new cars, and discover secrets. Crash Drive is back. Jacob, tell us about your time with Crash Drive 3.
Holy crap, this game is a ton of fun. This is honestly what I was hoping for with those monster truck and a couple of other games that I've played within like the last year and a half. This is just a big arcadey open world, you know, do what you want, like kind of game with a bunch of different cars. And the nice thing is that there is a lot of variety. Like if you want to drive a taxi, drive a taxi. If you want to drive a tank, you're going to have to work your way up for it, but you'll eventually get a tank.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want a monster truck? Cool. You got a monster truck. You want to drive a delivery truck? Excellent. We got that. You want to drive a food truck with like the things flapping all over the place? Great. The game has both offline and online modes. Something I'm very thankful for because so often you see like an indie game, you know, even regular modern games, like they sunset the servers, you know, a year, 5 years later down the road, this game will always be playable with that offline mode. And I love that. First off, I love that for that fact alone. So I actually started with the offline mode because Joe was like, oh, well, we got to play together. And then Joe never shows up, you know.
When did you tell me to play with you?
I didn't. Just you're supposed
I played
to
with
up
Carnage.
You're supposed to. Oh, you play with Carnage.
Yeah, because you're never available.
Oh, my schedule is spread as wide as my legs, Joe. You know that.
My lord.
All right,
yeah, so online play, which is cross-platform. You could play on any platform.
Yes. Let me get to that. All right.
Damn. I'm trying to get back on track here.
I was talking about
like a racetrack.
Oh my god. Anyway, so the offline mode is obviously just you by yourself, and so there are various events that you could do. Like you have to find, you know, the ring and run through it at a certain amount of time, or you just have to collect as many coins as you can. And there's a couple of other ones. Online is cross-play, as Joe was saying. And so you can play against Xbox, Nintendo Switch, PC, and I mean, I'll be honest, I assume it's Switch. It might have been mobile. I'm not sure.
PlayStation.
I couldn't, the thing was that like I couldn't quite tell from the icon, because what I assume was a Switch also could have been like a phone being held sideways, so I wasn't quite sure. Okay, so anyways, so there were plenty of Xbox and Switch players on. I never saw anybody for Sony. So I don't know if maybe it's just
how do you know it was a Switch player?
Because there's little icons beside the player's name.
I didn't take note to that.
Yeah, there's little icons that show like what console they're playing on.
Huh. I know most games that do that with cross-platform, they have like a generic icon or whatever third-party platforms you're doing. I guess because they don't want you to see a competitor's logo on that platform's game. So I'm kind of surprised that they have the actual platform logo there.
I mean, it was generic stuff, but I mean, they had a thing that looked like a Switch with the Joy-Cons attached to the side. But that's why I said I thought maybe it was somebody who was playing on like a mobile phone.
Maybe.
Because, like, you know, if you hold your phone sideways, as I would assume that you play this game, you know, that's what I figured. So I don't know. But anyway, so when you're doing the online, obviously it's a huge free-for-all. There's races, there's ring stuff, there's collecting coins, there's stunt tracks.
Attacking beach balls.
Yes, the beach ball attack. That is available in offline as well. It's just way fucking harder. And then my favorite is where you have to tag stuff. And so you're just doing tricks off of, you know, everything and then just, you know, claiming it from somebody else. And obviously there's other worlds that you can move into. There's like a desert-ish world. There's a forest world. You start off in like the ice tundra world and you have to get X amount of dollars to unlock each area. And then you go over, and so with that, also, the more you drive around, the more you upgrade your car's abilities. Now, if you want to, and you have the cash, you could do it up front with in-game cash, I should say. I don't think you can actually buy the in-game cash. I think you just have to keep playing.
Yeah, I don't think there's any microtransactions that I know of.
I don't think so either. I think it's just like a natural progression.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you want to, yeah, you could spend the $25 to upgrade, you know, your food truck. To make it, you know, the fastest food truck on the map, or you could just play it. Like you could just play with it for 25 minutes, just drive around and do tricks and like crash into other people, and win stuff. And, you know, you'll just upgrade it naturally. So there's always stuff to do because the in-game timer like resets itself. Like it only gives you like a minute or two to breathe before like it starts telling you that like the next thing is going to
yeah, it's constantly keeping things going. That's what I love about the game is that you could jump into an online session and in minutes you're already doing weird crazy shit.
Yeah, I mean it can get a little annoying if like you're trying to if you're trying to do stuff by yourself and just get like achievements by yourself. But thankfully, like almost none of it matters. And they do give, like if the race is about to start, the game will normally, transport you over to the starting line. However, you can actually opt out of that. Like I do appreciate the fact that the game does give you that option, to not actually have to participate in the race if you don't want to. And the races were actually the only area I ever found the game to glitch. because sometimes it would have an issue like bringing everyone to the starting line, and then it would cancel the race and then tell us that we lost. But then it was like a minute later, it would start up with some other event, and then it's just like, okay, whatever, who gives a shit. So that was really the only downside that I had to it. I do appreciate the fact that the game does admit that, like, you can blow yourself off the map if you want to and kind of glitch out, and there is an achievement attached to that. I mean, it's a really fun game all around. I don't exactly know how much this thing costs.
Do you not listen when I say this?
No, because I start thinking about what I want to talk about during the game. So, like, most of the time, I ignore what you're talking about. And then it's just like, okay, Jacob, like, start talking. And it's like, okay, bleh, here's all the things I have to say about the game.
You're a schmuck. It's $20. What do you think? Crash Drive 3, $20. What are your thoughts?
Totally fucking worth it. Absolutely.
$20. Totally fucking FWI.
Yeah. Like new, honestly, $20. Rating. $20, $30, I would even have been okay with $40. Like, I got more out of this game than a bunch of those monster truck simulators I had to review earlier.
Yeah.
Like this was just a ton
of fun.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a ton of fun. And there is a ton of longevity with this title. Like, I mean, if they just want to keep releasing new maps, great. If they don't, there's the offline mode, which will exist forever. Mm-hmm. Like, the game is not going anywhere. Like, and I love that so much about this type of game.
And there's so many secrets and Easter eggs and collectibles to find.
Oh my god! Like those collectibles with the developer's logo. Mm-hmm. Man, some of those are hidden in really hard places, like stupidly hard. And like the only way I found it is because I accidentally dynamited myself halfway across the map, and like I landed in this like weird crevice where, like, the logo was, and it's just like, that's happened a bunch of times, and it's just, I don't know if they do that on purpose, like, it's just like, oh, well, if your dumbass gets dynamited in this, you know, in this direction, that's how you get it, like, but it's a lot of fun trying to find everything and do everything, and it's just, this is one I'm definitely keeping on my Xbox for a very long time, especially since my oldest son thinks that I'm very good at it. Whenever I need
doesn't know how bad you are.
Exactly. I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, for a self-esteem boost, I'll just fire up that game. You're really good at this, Dad. Thanks, kid. You don't have any idea.
Only you knew the truth, son.
So, God. But yeah, totally get this game.
Cool.
Like, highly recommend it.
All right, well, that is it for you, Jacob. I am going to let you get going, and I am going to do some editing magic, and I'll be with Cole, who's mysteriously better. What do you think of that?
Oh, the wonderment of editing.
Yeah, editing. It's crazy shit. Do you have any final words?
Everyone, go buy Mousebot. I'm serious. Go buy it. It's $5. It'll change your life.
Buy it or I'll fucking cut you.
All right. Joe. Did we really have to go with violence on this?
Yes.
Fair.
Your lips go through all kinds of abuse. Chapped, bitten, split, puckered, duck-shaped for MySpace. So we combined the two best things in life into a portable plastic cylinder. Smooth lips and almost fully cooked pancakes. Introducing Wet Pancakes Beeswax Lip Balm. With only the best coconut, sweet almond, avocado, and saccharin oils, beeswax, and flavor. With a U. What flavor is it? We're not sure. Might be pancake. You don't know. So pick up a couple of sticks for yourself and your friends. And that creepy guy standing behind you looking over your shoulder.
Some assembly required. Not FDIC insured. Does not contain actual pancakes or Nordics. Restrictions may apply. Go for the gold. Pizza. Your mom may or may not be sponsored by the SML podcast. Joe Cam loves you. Peace out.
Do 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 do.
Oh my god, you sound like shit.
Thanks.
How are you holding up?
Now apparently I match the rest of the quality of the podcast.
You finally. Do finally. Oh, how are you feeling? Do you feel better than you sound?
No.
No? Damn it.
No, I don't. I thought about going this morning for another bag of fluids. And then I was just like,
probably do that after the show if you're still this dehydrated.
I don't have the motivation. I really don't. Like I just keep complaining.
That's my part of the problem, you know.
Listen, all I've had to eat since day before yesterday is half a pudding cup.
Jesus.
I have had 2 20-ounce sprats in 3 days. I just can't. I can't get it down.
Have you tried water?
Oh, God, no. I can't do water when I am sick.
No?
Like, normally, I usually have a rule, like, if I drink a pop, I drink twice as much water, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the moment I'm sick, when water, it comes into play, like, it can touch my lip, and I'm throwing up. I can't do it. There's something about it. I don't know. But I tried Gatorade, couldn't. I took like 2 sips of it and was like, nope, not today.
How about ginger ale?
I did take a couple sips of a ginger ale.
I'm keeping all this in the show, by the way.
Yeah, as well. It's fine. Might as well explain why I've been like, I don't this.
We'll just include it from like the start of the Skype call so everyone can hear your do.
I think I slept the best last night that I've slept in the last couple days. But now, like, because I slept well when I don't feel well, now I got a headache to go with it.
Mm.
I'm just like, I just want to go lay back on the couch and die.
Well, you can die soon, but we got shit to do.
Oh, God damn it. There really is no rest for the weak or the wicked, huh?
Oh, my God. I am so sorry.
It's okay.
Hey, now that you're talking, you sound better.
It's technically my fault, isn't it? So I can't even be like, anybody else says I'm sorry. I'm like, for what? I did it. I'm the dumbass that ate a McChicken.
Is it the McChicken that got you?
I don't know. I had 3 things that day. For lunch, I had green beans and a hamburger. And then for dinner, we had the McChicken. And I got sick somewhere in that night. So I don't know.
Hmm. Did anyone else who had the McChicken get McSick?
No.
McSicken?
Everybody else ate what I ate. Nobody else got sick. And nobody's gotten sick. But I've also been, like, super careful. Like, David has just been following me around the house with a can of Lysol.
A good idea.
If I touch it, he sprays it.
Definitely a good idea.
But, I mean, they gave me a COVID test at the hospital yesterday. It's not COVID. So, it's just food poisoning. Something fucked up my stomach. Which I have in my laundry list of issues. I have chronic duodenitis anyway. So, if I get something like that, I'm fucked. And I'm just down till it's gone. So,
Randall in chat, I had a McChicken several weeks ago. Sounds like I just missed all the fun.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Flozax.
Yeah, I'm glad you survived yours because it doesn't look good for me. Here lies Cole. She shouldn't have ate the fucking McChicken. That's on my tombstone.
The worst part is, like, you have games this week, but none of them are like, oh my God, these are amazing games.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good. We got some good stuff to talk about, but it's not like we're talking about, like, Destiny or like, this coming Tuesday, we'll be talking about Monster Hunter.
Yeah, so which I didn't even get to take.
Yeah, because your computer.
Yeah, it's being fickle, and I don't want to make her mad.
Yeah.
So, we're treating her gingerly until I can get a 3060 is what's happening. We're not going to ride that 2060 hard and put it up wet. We're going to be kind to her.
did the SNEC game work?
I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah,
I need to do that.
Oh yeah, because you've been sick.
I have. You know, though, I have been playing a game.
Oh, what have you been playing?
I don't know if I can technically say because it's embargoed.
Is it the one from Devolver?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't talk about that yet.
Yeah. Which is funny because one could say...
Rumor has it...
that I have been on Death's Door.
You have... Yeah, I mean, you could say you've played it. You can't say anything about the game.
Yeah.
Like, that's next week.
There's humor to the fact that I feel like I'm dying.
Yeah.
But I've played Death's Door while I've
Do you
been.
Also feel lost at sea?
I do feel like I have seasickness.
Do you feel like you should go see Dr. Atominus?
There were games downloading the other night, and David was like, how are you still downloading shit when you're sick? And I'm like, look, this job, it has no leeway.
Games ain't going to play themselves. These achievements ain't going to earn themselves.
When y'all bury me, just leave my hands above the ground so that somebody could stick a controller in it. And I'll still sit there and be playing review shit.
I was telling Purnell, because Purnell started emailing this one company to try and get a game, and now he's doing it again with another release. And I'm like, you know, when I die or step down, he's going to have to take over all the email contact stuff.
Yeah, because I hate that part. Yeah. I won't do it. I got anxiety.
Love you to death, but I don't think you actually want to host the show.
Nope. I will be here for every episode so long as I am not on my literal deathbed. But the thought of, like, doing the back-end shit.
And being in charge. You're just like, fuck that.
I sort of don't like it. I don't like that in pretty much any aspect of life. That's the way some people are. And, you know, that's me. I'm like, no. I don't even do well when it comes to Windows Central. They were like, what are you doing this week? And I was like, nothing. And they were like, why didn't you request something? I was like, I didn't want to ask. I figured you'd let me know. I just don't like to ask.
I mean, you can get big stuff now, so you should do that.
I should ask.
Yeah, you should make use of that.
Yeah. I did get a big one, too. I got a big one on the right four over there, too.
Ooh, which one?
I'm going to be busy. Samurai Warriors 5.
Really?
Yeah.
I was covering that.
Really? Yeah.
All of us could talk about
this is not something I would normally play. Fuck it. Let's go. They wanted me to do an accessibility and Psychonauts article, but the preview build, our access to it was up. Because we had early preview access.
And
we
that's cool.
Yeah, and then the access time was gone. So, they were like, oh, we didn't get you in for that in time. So that was an oops on my part, because I was like, hey, I could have done GG. That. Yeah.
Yeah, Jacob and I were talking about that earlier in the show, about the whole accessibility in Psychonauts with allowing the invincibility. And I'm all for it.
I think it's great. I think every game should do that.
Yeah.
But I got in a lot of hot water on Twitter this week because I think that.
Really? But
basically what amount, did you not see all of it?
I don't use Twitter because I can't find anything relevant to me anymore.
Oh my God. I basically was like, I've said it on the show before. Everybody knows my stance on that. That like repetitious failure is, you know, just using dying over and over as an excuse and say, oh, well, the game's hard, you know, is bullshit. It's bad game design, right? I've said it a million times. I didn't even mention Dark Souls, but the Dark Souls community apparently wasn't a fan of my comment. And so, like, one guy went all ham, and apparently I only have a passing interest in video games, and I just LARP as a fake gamer girl for cool points.
I mean, and, duh.
And I am what's wrong with gaming journalism?
We're a podcast.
You know, the funny thing about that is that technically, I guess I do qualify as gaming journalism now because I do write for Windows Central.
Yeah.
But, like, they don't know that. They didn't know that. I don't have it in my bio that I write freelance for Windows Central. I don't have any, I haven't done, so unless I looked at my profile and like went all the way back to when Rust came out, because that was, I did one article about Rust, one article about Knockout City, and one article about Call of Duty. And then other than that, all of my Windows Central articles are about art.
Yeah.
So I'm like, they had to really reach to decide that I was gaming journalism.
I'm trying to go back through your Twitter and find this.
Oh my God. I pinned the one guy's comment because it was good. Raider Biz. See, Raider Biz didn't even know I write for Windows Central. And Raider Biz actually pays attention to my shit.
You're an embarrassment to email game.
Yeah. Like, I spent the whole, it was right before I got sick, and it was just a whole bunch of people shitting on me. Maybe that was what happened. Maybe this is karma for my bad opinion on Souls-like.
No, it's not a bad opinion. I mean, you got 75 likes on it.
That's the other part. Like, there were plenty. And the funny part was, people were like, oh, that's not bad mechanics. And then there were other people who were like, no, I love Dark Souls, but the mechanics really are bad. And here's the thing, like, I don't fault anybody for liking a game like Dark Souls. I play tons of bad games and love them. They're great. I play a lot of games that I go, could have been better, but I had a good time with it, so that's fine. So I don't think that there's a problem with liking a game like that or being like, oh, Dark Souls is my favorite game. But my favorite game, one of them is Silence. And they basically pretend like that didn't exist at this point. So
hell, my favorite game is fucking Rock Band 4, and there's literally songs in that game that haven't been FC'd for over a decade until just recently.
So, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with liking a hard game, and I don't think there's anything wrong with liking a bad game with bad mechanics. But I think what's wrong is when you, like, say, oh, well, people managed to beat the game that had bad mechanics, so they must not have been bad. Because that's not true. Like, you can throw yourself at a brick wall a million times, and eventually you're gonna knock off a pebble, right?
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean that throwing yourself at the brick wall is the solution. Sometimes you just gotta walk around the wall. And I don't understand why these people. And the funniest part was, I didn't even mention Dark Souls.
You replied to Dark Souls.
Okay, but I didn't say Dark Souls. That was just the comment that was there. That was the first one I saw that was like, this is a bad thing. But yeah, I don't know. It was funny to me, but it led to some really chaotic shit. I had a good laugh over it all week. So if you need some reading entertainment, there you go.
Yeah, I've got that bookmarked.
One guy was like, one of my friends asked me what I had said to piss people off, and I literally repeated the same thing, but with not as high quality words, because at that point I was already starting to get sick, and I didn't feel like repeating it with fancy shit, right? So then I said it again, the exact same sentence again, and a dude replied to me and said, that's not what you said, be honest. It was literally the exact same sentence, but with synonyms.
Well, then it's not literally the exact same.
It is, though. When you boil it down, it's the same thing. And like,
you use synonyms, so that's automatically different.
But it meant the same. And he was
but
trying to say
it's not literally the same.
It is, though. You're going to tell me that I don't even remember what I said because I haven't slept in 2 days. I don't know. You can read it yourself. It's on Twitter. It's all right there in black and white or navy and white, depending on which color scheme you use.
Navy.
But yeah, I pissed people off. It was a delightful time, and I feel like I should do that more often.
Well, then, yeah, troll more, I guess. I don't know. I still love that I got banned from the Xbox One subreddit because someone told me that Xbox Series X can play all Xbox 360 games. I said no, and then I linked to where the backward compatibility list was and said, this is for the shitheads who can't read, and I got permabanned.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
Well done.
Suck my dick for him, and you asshole.
Anyway,
you got three games to talk about. Should we get to those?
Yeah.
This is like the second half of the show. You missed the interview and the news, but you made up for it.
Yeah, my stomach's cramping. Let's get through this.
All right. First game for you to talk about is called The Sisters Party of the Year, developed by Balio Studio, published by Microids, released July 6th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $29.99. Let's get into mischief. Join Maureen, Wendy, and all their friends in this new video game adventure. Challenge your friends in crazy minigames and explore the Sister City. Cole, tell us about your time with The Sisters Party of the Year.
I'm going to be 100% honest and say that this was not a game for me, but this was 100% for my kids. And for as far as number three goes, for an 8-year-old girl, she had a good time. So to break it actually down, this game is based on a French cartoon. I'm not going to try to say the name in French because it sounds like something you would Google to get some bad porn, if I say it in French, because a redneck.
Now I have to look up what it is.
It's literally Les Sisters, but I can't speak French, so it just sounds like Les, like lesbians. Well,
Les Sisters.
Yeah. But there you go. So I was just trying not to go there.
You went there anyway, trying to not go there.
Couldn't help it. Yeah. I blame it on the dehydration.
But it's based on a French cartoon.
Yeah. And so it's very obvious when you start playing that, like, this is an existing world. So there's not much in the way of, I complain about this a lot with these kids games, is that if you're not already familiar with the franchise they come from, you're kind of just in the wind. They don't go out of their way to, like, set up the environment. They don't go out of their way to explain who the characters are. You're just kind of expected to already be in that world and know.
Yeah.
That's kind of my biggest gripe with these, and it's here we are again with it here. There is some voice acting for the game. I haven't watched the show. I can't tell you how similar the voices are. My biggest gripe with the voice acting, though, is that it's inconsistent. It will have voice acting in some scenes, and then in other scenes it will just have regular text and nothing. And also in the opening sequences, when you're choosing your character, there are voice dialogue, but there isn't any subtitles to go along with it. So that kind of, I'm not a fan of that. There's subtitles throughout the rest of the game, but when you're choosing which sister storyline you're going to play through, you have no idea what they're saying in the lead up if you can't hear. Mm. So subtitles, guys, everywhere. If they speak, put some text on the screen. As far as actual gameplay goes, it plays out like party games. You can play it alone with AI, or you can actually hook up some other controllers and play as a party game. If you play against the AI, first off, they are cheating bastards. But it's still easy enough that kids can manage it.
Jordan says you unk'd it.
It's not something I would say is difficult to 1K, but man, I don't know if I would have had the patience to it, so kudos to them.
Just grindy?
Yeah, it's just not, I didn't enjoy it enough to justify spending that kind of time for it. That's not to say it's bad, it's just that it wasn't a game meant for somebody like me, and I just didn't have the patience to chug into it. Now, number three has sit over here on this couch and sat and played it for a couple of hours straight. And then I had to be like, yo, when was the last time you moved? And make her turn it off for a while to go play. Even when I was playing, she was like sitting on the couch like, okay, this is what you do here. And this is how you go over there. And if you press X, you can go faster on your scooter. And like giving me all the details that thank goodness she was there for, because I didn't know. Game doesn't tell you that stuff. I don't know how she figured it out. The mini games are pretty easy. One of them, for example, is you just gotta tidy up. And so, like, the screen is split into four. Everybody's got a colored area, and you're trying to push all the toys into the other people's areas and keep yours clean. Another one is you got to hold on to the fan blades while it spins. Let me just take a second to point out that the mini games in this game is shit that 100% you don't want your kids trying to do in real life. Okay? Like, we're talking, the oldest one is supposed to be 12 or 13. And we're talking, they're all like hanging from the ceiling fan blades and spinning around, and whoever holds on the longest wins. And in order to do that as the mini game, you have to sit and smash the A button repeatedly. Another one is a food fight, and like, okay, that's fun. I could enjoy having a food fight type of game. Mini game where like food spawns in and you throw it at the others, except the food spawns in on plates and you pick up the whole plate and throw at it, and then the plate breaks when it hits them. And I'm like, if they could go through the hassle of animating the plate and the plate hitting and the plate breaking, maybe somewhere along the line somebody should have went, we shouldn't have 8-year-olds throwing plates at each other. Maybe.
I think you're looking too far into it.
Because I'm a mom. So. Moms immediately look at shit like this and go, oh no, not in my house. Right? And so there's like, as a game, it's fine, but some of the stuff that,
well, it is a game, and that's what that you play games to do stuff you can't do in reality. That's like complaining about murder in Grand Theft Auto.
Okay, but you shouldn't be letting 8-year-olds play Grand Theft Auto either. No,
so they play the sisters instead.
And then they throw plates at each other, and then when they go throw a plate at their sister, and it breaks, and then somebody's got to go get on stitches, and then that sister gets marked as a snitch for the rest of their life. I'm just saying I had a rough childhood with two sisters, okay?
Oh, God. Yeah, you're on your own with this one.
In all, it's fine. It's a great collection of little mini games. It's a full,
there's 24,
surprisingly open world.
24 different mini games.
Yes, 24 mini games. You get to collect tickets and buy extra costumes for your characters. You can dress them how you want. That's a lot of fun. The open world is actually really well done. I complain a lot about these kind of open world games for kids that like just feel empty, and it's empty space that you're just running across. But they actually did a really good job, although I did kind of have to laugh a couple of times when Maureen was on her scooter and I would just like get hit by a car. Nothing happens to her because of the kids game, but I was like, I don't know, maybe shouldn't be able to just dart out in front of cars. But it was funny. And number three was like, Mom, be careful! You know, the whole time. But yeah, I was really on the fence because it wasn't for me, but it wasn't bad. Make sense?
Yeah.
Like, for its target audience, it's fine, and it's good. It's one of the better, well-done ones. I will say, if you're a fan of the series, something that I learned while I was doing a little bit of research, they changed the names of the characters in the Western, well, not Western version, because France is West, too. But in the
American.
In the American version, we changed the names from, in French, she's Marine. Or Marina. I'm not sure if she pronounces it Marina or Marina. But in English, in the cartoon, it's Marie. But in the game, they named her Maureen. So it's still like completely different character names.
They got to get their shit together.
Yeah. So like maybe get your guys with the cartoon creator guys and at least make sure you get your names right.
Yeah, get some consistency.
But otherwise, it was okay, and I'm good with it.
Cool. So $30 on the sisters' party. Oh, Jordan says to mention the mission tracker, because it was really well done.
Yes, the mission tracker is really well done. You can also turn it on and off, which was odd, but yeah, it is. It's just there, and it tracks missions, and it works.
Cool. Well, $30 on the sisters' party of the year. What is your verdict?
I give it a buy it if you're buying it for kids. If you're a grown adult and you're looking for just like some quick achievements or something, maybe a little less on par for that. But, you know, for if you're looking
for actual children, they'll have
actual
fun.
Actual children, it's more enjoyable.
Cool. All right. Next game is called Imagine Earth, developed and published by Sirius Brothers, released July 9th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and out of Steam Early Access for $24.99. In this build-up strategy game, you build global colonies on distant planets, establish space trade and research to lead your corporation into wealth and prosperity, find allies, compete against rivals, and protect your civilization from natural disasters and climate change. Paul, tell us about your time with Imagine Earth.
It took me 2 hours to get through the tutorial.
Nice.
For a couple of different reasons. This is a strategy simulator. You have a whole ass little planet. We're far enough in the future that civilization can travel around. We have a whole new type of crystal that can make moving around the galaxy like snap of a finger. We're constantly finding new planets that are inhabitable, and with a little bit of work and effort and colonization, we can do our thing that humans like to do, colonize. So
taking over.
Yeah, it's what we do best, right? I mean, So you start off with the basic tutorial planet. It looks very Earth-like. A lot of the biomes you'll recognize, there's like mountains with snow caps and there's, you know, deciduous trees and things like that. And then you may rotate the, it is an island in the middle of the galaxy, I guess. Rotate the planet, and one side might have a biome that's like a desert. You may rotate it another way and there might be a little, ocean with corals and a volcano. You never know what you're going to find. The planet design is really well done. It is kind of hard to navigate it. It doesn't rotate quite as freely as I would like for it to. Most of the rotation is left to the right thumbstick, and then you use your triggers to zoom in and out. Moving around the HUD for the screen is the hardest part, and the kind of the part that the game needs to explain the most and does the least. The HUD for strategy games of this caliber are the number one thing that makes porting consoles a nightmare. Making the HUD, when you have all of this management shit, work with the limitations of the buttons of the controller is a challenge. And oftentimes you'll find games will like use the triggers as shift, or they'll put things in kind of folders, if you will, and then you'll navigate through them with the D-pad. The interesting thing about Imagine Earth for me was that it felt like the HUD had an insane amount of information on it, and it never tells me how to get to it without telling me, well, you can just press X and choose it from this radio menu. And even though there's information on a bar to the left where I instinctively wanted to press the left D-pad to access it, nothing was on the D-pad and nothing would happen. Or there would be notifications in the bottom corner, and instinctively I would want to press up on the D-pad, but doing so didn't do anything. So they had all these options on the HUD that they never told me how to interact with, but the buttons that I would think would interact with them are null. So it doesn't feel like they did as great a job as they could have doing the porting of the controls to the controller as well.
Mapping everything.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. I'm sorry. Dehydration brain. But they could have just done a little better job with mapping. I think the game would be a lot easier and a lot more enjoyable if it were mapped better. Now, apart from that, the actual gameplay is fun. You'll have your world is kind of broken down into a series of like a triangular grid. And everything that you build has to be on this little triangular plots. So when you start, you're given a landing zone, and this is your city hub. So you'll choose where that's going to go, and then there will be an area around that hub that you can claim. Then from that point on, you'll have to actually pay additional money to claim any further triangular plots of land. You'll still want to do that to expand because you're colonizing here, people, and you need to take over the whole goddamn thing if you're going to do it right. In addition to claiming the different little plots of land and being able to build on them, some of them will have resources that will kind of dictate where the best places to put your structures are going to go, right?
Yeah.
So, if you want to build a coal plant, for example, you're going to want to put it
for you.
Yeah. then you're going to want to put that over top of a coal deposit, and then it will get a bonus and it will produce more electricity to power your grid. Now, you would probably think if we're in the future and we can travel all these places at the drop of a hat, why the fuck are we still using fossil fuels? And the answer for that is very clear in the game, and it's because everything is patented the fuck out. And so if you want to improve any of your technology, you have to have a technology license for that. So everything that you do is working up towards earning these technology licenses, or you can do research and create your own version, but you can't just use the standard, the standard like biomass or gas power plants or whatever, if without having done the legwork for them, which is kind of funny. They really poke a lot of fun at the capitalist side of these kind of games, while also turning around and being like, oh, but that's what kind of game we are, so here we go, you know? There's a whole aspect of like, oh, if you don't have enough money, you can share sell some of your shares in the stock of the company so that you can afford that upgrade you want. And it's like, really have to sell my own personal shares in the company to be able to buy an upgrade for the company? Really? So the way that it's kind of, it's definitely poking fun at the way that it works, but it's lighthearted enough that it doesn't feel like it's kind of preaching or dragging you down.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good balance.
Like it was like, that's a logistic argument to be had in real life right now, but it still feels lighthearted enough that you're like, but it's a game. It's funny. So yeah. Root beer over here with fuck cold. Please don't fuck me. I've already got food poisoning. That would be fucked.
I've been spelling your name wrong this whole time.
Yeah.
Your name's COAL. How the hell do you spell Martin? M-U-J.
Well, we've seen how I spell rage, so. Clearly.
Rahage.
But yeah, it's, I don't know, it's delightful and it's fun. There's a ton of different types of alien races you're going to come in contact with, and you can choose to be friends or foes with them. There was one point where I had the option to just take over a peaceful colony, or I could just leave them alone. And then when I chose to leave them alone, a little while later, they were like, oh, but we need medicine because we've got a plague. And then I was like, oof, too real. And when they've got a plague, the whole city district shuts down and doesn't pay taxes anymore. And you're like, oh, no, 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 bitch, I better get you some medicine. I need them taxes or I have to sell my shares in the company. Ain't nobody trying to do that. So, yeah, in addition to the campaign is basically just like the entire campaign feels like it's a tutorial on how to play the competition mode. I don't love it and I don't hate it. I tend to like more sandboxy experiences with these kind of strategy builders, but that's just me personally.
No.
I do appreciate that, like I said, it teaches you basically the mechanics of figuring out how to interact with the other types of aliens you're going to come across and stuff, and that's all well and good. But I tend to just be like, let me build in peace and don't ask me questions. I just want to make people happy and give them public transport. So public transport and healthcare. I'm not asking for much.
Well, overall, $25 on Imagine Earth. What are you thinking?
I think it's one of the better strategy sims that I've played in a while. It's just that I do wish they were a little better with the button mapping. So I'm okay giving it a buy it still.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is Mythic Ocean, developed by Paraloon, published by Nakana.io. Or is it Nakana? Nakana?
I don't know.
You know that company?
I don't know.
I always think I'm saying it wrong. Nakana.io, released July 9th on Xbox One and Switch for $14.99. Freely explore a vibrant ocean, have relaxing, deep, and amusing conversations with six different gods and a cast of sea creatures. The advice you give continuously alters your story and leads to thousands of possible endings, ranging between harmony and pandemonium. Which god will rise above? What kind of universe will they create? Discover the outcomes of your choices. Our friend Serlina, check this one out, wrote in a review. This is what she's got to say. Hello, SML friends and fam. It's your girl, Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Mythic Ocean for the Xbox One, developed by Paraloon and published by Nakana.io. Hi, love y'all. She loves them. She loves that company. Mythic Ocean is a story adventure game where you get to meet and develop relationships with several gods who will go on to create the new world. Let's get on with the review. As we already know, if Nakana.io is involved, the game's bound to have a banging story, and Mythic Ocean does not disappoint. Story is amazing. It starts off a bit weird, and then it becomes slightly annoying with the ever-popular amnesiac MC trope and helpful guide who knows more than they're letting on, but once you get past that, the goods are here. You're soon let loose to explore the watery depths to find the five gods who will help you become the creator of the new world. It's got a choose-your-own-adventure vibe, as your dialogue choices can befriend or annoy the gods to various effects. You would think that just making all of them happy would net you the best result, but that's not necessarily the case. In order to get the creator that you want, it's important to befriend them, but also important to get them to look at life a little bit differently than they did before they met you, if you want. You can also make them more of what they already are, and that will affect how things shake out in the end. Growth or chaos is the name of the game, whichever, it's really up to you. As you get to know each of the gods, and they are all adorable in their own separate ways, you can unlock illustrations that tell a bit more of their stories and storylines. Sadly, you can't unlock all the illustrations in one playthrough, but that's okay, as this game is designed to be played through more than once. You can also find mini portals that teleport you to the Library of Antiquity, where you collect even more lore about the previous world. For story alone, it's absolutely worth it to collect all of these pages, 18 in all. Whenever you hear the whispers, there's a portal nearby. The pages also have another purpose or two, but you'll find out what that could be during the game. Let's talk about the graphics. The game runs on the Unreal Engine, so it is a beauty. There are some areas that are quite minimalist, some that are full of life, and one or two areas that can make your jaw drop. They're all incredibly designed, and I was happy to explore every corner that I could. The character designs are also incredibly cute, and I fell in love with each god, with the exception of one, an NPC that I encountered. One thing I didn't care for is the controls, specifically the movement alone. It's just straight up weird to navigate. I don't know if it's the engine or what, but it doesn't feel like you're actually swimming. It feels and navigates like you're floating, and you move relatively fast. I'm not saying the movement is bad, but I'm saying that the game moves like an FPS when it's not. There could be some potential for motion sickness as well, especially when going above the water's edge. That wasn't super distracting, but I feel it should be mentioned. Probably good for me to know. Mythic Ocean is available on the Xbox One and other platforms for $14.99, and should you buy it, yes, you should absolutely buy it. Putting my fangirl bias aside, Nakan Isla, the story pulls you in. You'll find yourself wanting to learn more and more about the characters. In addition to this, replayability is high. Completion time is relatively low at around 5 hours. And you can get all the achievements in one playthrough. So go ahead and crown your creator and watch what they do. Sounds good.
Does sound like she had a good time.
Is that something you had your eyes on?
It was.
What do you think about it now?
Sterlina loves them more, apparently.
Well, I know her Subnautica love, so. Plus, you're sick. You can't bitch.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't at the time.
Well, you got one more game to talk about. That's called Blitzbreaker, developed by Boncho Games and Rattlake Games, published by East Asia Soft. Released July 7th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99. Take the role of a newly built robot named Blitz and try to escape the maniacal machinations of the factory where you were created. Blitzbreaker is a fast-paced action platformer with one big twist. Blitz can't run. That means you need to jump and air dash everywhere you go, navigating the confines of the factory by wall jumping, avoiding traps and enemy weapons, smashing into barricades, and thinking strategically. Paul, tell us about your time with Blitzbreaker.
This kind of feels like a play on a sliding block puzzle. How do you word are hard.
I know, right?
But yeah, it feels like a play on a sliding block puzzle in that you kind of, whichever way you start to go, that's where you're at until you hit something. So you have to be really mindful of making turns and stuff. Initially, your puzzles are really simple and it's just dash right and ta-da, you beat the level. Good job. Next. And then it quickly becomes, oh, here are multiple zigzags with keys and coins and spikes and saws and lasers and good luck, bye. And then you're doing the same level 74 times and you're ready to cry. It's a simple concept that they really just crank to 11 and have a good time with. Looks adorable. Plays really well. None of the times that I died was I like, oh, that was unfair, that was bullshit. It was like, no, that was perfectly within the confines of the game. And it was
more like, son of a bitch.
It was like, I knew better. And you make the same move 700 times, even though you know you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, it's the literal definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. It's exhausting.
But you do it in this game, and you find yourself going back and doing it over and over because it's fun.
I still have a couple of achievements I need to finish in it, and I'm just determined to do it, goddammit. I made it past the level that you have to get, because in true East Asia Soft game fashion, you don't have to beat the whole thing to get all the achievements. You can do it in like 15 minutes. But I was playing past the level that you have to beat to get all the level achievements, because I like to do that because I enjoy the damn games. But I was like, I got to a couple of later stages and I was just sitting there going, God damn, this is fucking hard. Thank God that they stopped the achievements early because I would be like throwing my controller out the window if I had to actually beat this for a reason and couldn't just stop. They really make it complicated, but it's a testament to their creativity with some of the level design, because it's really done well. It's just fucking hard, but not in the beginning. And everybody's like, $5, what are the achievements like? And in that case, you can beat it quick.
Well, then I guess I'll ask the same question. $5, what do you think?
I give it a buy it. Yeah, it's not one of those that it's like you would just get it for the achievements and be like, fuck it, why not, right? Like, for $5, you're going to get your money's worth. It's a good concept and it's well done.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yay.
That's it. We're done.
Yay, I'm going to go die.
Okay, big thanks again to Matt Small of Vector Unit coming on chatting with us. Mousebot is out next week for $5. You should check it out. Did you get to play it at all?
I did not.
Oh, you got to go play it.
You know, laying with my head in a bucket.
Oh, you can move left and right.
Can I?
Your head in a bucket. It's like peek your eye out. Do it sideways with your eye peeking out.
That may have how I've one been hand. Playing another game the past week. So.
Yeah, Mousebot is out next week. We will be reviewing that next week along with a few other cool games. So keep your eyes peeled on future episodes. We'll have more chats coming as well. Thanks again to Jacob for coming on and filling in for you.
Don't thank him. That's gross.
You gotta. He no, you saved don't. My back.
I know. After I shit down it, apparently.
Yeah, you were like perched on my shoulders, dropped trout, and then just all over my head and shoulders.
I'm sorry.
That's the mental image we're going to leave people with this week. Do you have any final words to end the show?
No, don't eat McChicken.